Welcome back to Dual Wielding episode 137. I'm joined this week by Martin.
Hello!
And we have quite a news-filled week for you. But I guess before we get started, do you have anything that you've been playing this week?
The only new thing I played was the Trials game for mobile, for iOS. I don't know if an Android version is out already. It's called Trials Frontier, and apparently we'll be able to connect that in some way with the Trials Fusion game that will come out this week. So I thought, a Trials game for mobile platform, that might work depending on how they do the controls, or I don't know, maybe make physics work. So I'm not going to talk too much about this because I basically played it for 5 minutes. The physics were dumbed down, the tracks were uninteresting, and I realized quickly that it is a free-to-play game in the worst sense possible because it's energy-based. Every time you go onto a track, you lose like petrol, and so basically you can't play how much you want unless you pay money.
Of course.
And the other thing is it has like an upgrade mechanic for your bike, but all of those upgrades, of course, take time. Unless you put in money, and then you can speed up those timers.
So
after I saw that, I deleted it.
Yeah. I think it came out last week. I think we briefly touched on this on Nerds on the Rocks last week. But I believe it came out last week that 2 out of 3 people stop a mobile game the day they play it. And I think that's part of the reason. I feel like they should really, if they want to monetize it, I really think they should do it, like, give you a free day. Because it really sucks, like, if you're getting into something and it's like, oh, pay us now or wait 24 hours for your turn or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
It's really not the way you get somebody invested into a product to cut them off without paying you more money.
Yeah. So the game is free, but it's free to play in the worst sense possible, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of ways.
I'm still excited for Trials Fusion this week, but this game was just a bummer. Otherwise, no new stuff, no, nothing.
And I've been playing the same games I played last week, so we're just going to skip ahead to that. This is the time of the year where, I mean, I think the next major game that I want is NES Remix 2 and then Child of Light, which is out at the end of the month.
There will be, like I said, Trials Fusion this week, and I will also play Nintendo Pocket Football Club. And there is a Mario Golf demo also coming out this week.
Oh, I did not see that. I wonder if that's going to be for everybody.
It's definitely in Europe. But I know that, so.
I don't get that at all. I mean, this is a brief segue. But I don't get why. I guess why, because they're a much different company. Nintendo Europe sends out their press release at the start of the week as to what's coming out on the eShops.
Yeah.
We don't get ours until day of, so usually it's like Thursday, and it's never usually, like, it's between 9 and 10 a.m., so it's usually like 2 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
So it freaks out a lot of people because they don't know what's coming out. Like, we have an idea of what's coming out this week because they announced the Game Boy Advance stuff, and we know that Super Mario Bros. 3 is coming out this week as well. But usually, like, you don't know, like, a lot of games. That's the publisher themselves, especially with eShop original titles announced ahead of time. It's just a really weird practice. I don't get why they can't do it a week in advance or something like that. But whatever. Yeah, we have a lot of news to cover this week, so let's kick it off. I guess we started the week off with the Smash Brothers Direct, which came Tuesday night.
Yeah. I still think it was kind of excessive to have, like, 40 minutes of Smash Bros., but whatever.
I think it depends. I think I don't think it was all for us. I think there was a lot of people who were probably wanted to see the moves in action,
yeah,
who wanted to see the changes made to these characters. I know there's a lot of people who are really kind of into, and not just Smash Bros. I think any fighting game, you kind of want to see, like, how your characters change and evolve. And I think to other people, it's not that exciting. Like, yeah, it's cool that they get these new moves. I don't need you to spend 5 minutes on a character breaking down what you changed and why you changed it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's interesting for some people, so I would probably cut down the whole Direct and then put those up separately on the YouTube channel for everyone to watch. Who's interested in that? Because I was very tired on the day, and I was fighting back sleep at that point.
I mean, it was also late for you. I mean, it was fine for us.
Yeah, it was at 12 a.m.
Yeah, so it was. It wasn't hugely newsworthy, I think. I mean, it was interesting, you know, especially being that we don't get a lot of video updates. We've seen a lot of screenshots.
No, so it was nice, there was some interesting stuff, definitely. Well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that most people took away were the release dates.
Yeah.
Or release windows, I should say. The 3DS version is coming out summer, and the Wii U version through this winter.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I would have actually expected it to be at the same time, but apparently they need more time for the Wii U version.
I didn't expect it to be at the same time, because I feel like they probably thought it would cannibalize each other. I was surprised that the 3DS version was coming out first. Like, if anything, I expected them to push the Wii U version first and then do the 3DS version later on, because the Wii U is the one that kind of needs it, where the 3DS, you know, isn't doing great, but it's doing better than
It's still probably going to be the version that will sell better.
Oh, it's a bigger install base. Yeah. I mean, you have 45 million versus, like, 6. So, yeah. Which is why I thought they would have pushed the Wii U version first. I mean, the reason... I mean, again, you know, whatever justification.
Yeah, but on the other hand, will it push consoles if these people maybe own a... Or if these people that don't own a Wii U have a 3DS, will it actually push consoles if they know, oh, I can just get the 3DS version later?
Well, I think this is why they did the 3DS version first, is like, I do think it's easier to sell people on a better looking experience than it is to say a handheld experience. And
the upsell is more enticing than the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Which is why it makes more sense to do 3DS. But from a business standpoint, you probably wanted the Wii U version out first because there might be people who say, okay, it's going to be 6 months for the 3DS version. I'll get the Wii U version. And I do think that, I mean,
Probably. We know that there are really crazies out there that just love Smash Bros.
Yeah, which is the point. I mean, it's a huge franchise. Yeah. It's a huge franchise for them. And I do think it's going to still sell decent on the Wii U. I think, you know, no matter what, there's still something to be said about playing that game on one screen with your friends instead of everybody having this tiny screen in their hands and stuff like that. But yes, it does just in the impact of the Wii U version coming out after the 3DS version.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this much. I'm happy that they aren't playing politics with the game, though. I'm happy to not, like, okay, we're going to have more exclusive characters in the Wii U version, or we're going to have all of this, you know, we're going to nerf the 3DS version so that you can buy the 3DS version, which is only the Wii U version.
Yeah. Well, they at least announced an exclusive mode for the 3DS version.
Yeah, and I assume they'll announce a media exclusive role for the Wii U version.
Probably.
Like I said, I'm just, you know, again, it could have been worse where they are, like, we're going to, you know, 3DS version is not going to have online or something like that.
No, they made a really big point, actually, about, like, showing, like, okay, we have all the same stages here. They, on the geometry, basically, the layout of the levels is the same on both consoles. They just don't look as pretty on the 3DS.
Well, they don't have the same stages. They share some of the stages.
Yeah, that's what I mean, for example, the stages they share and stuff like that, so... You're not getting a worse deal on the 3DS.
That's a good thing, to be honest and upfront with that. Again, because, you know, there are companies who, not to point fingers, like Capcom did with Monster Hunter, where it's like, if you want online, you have to buy a Wii U version, and if you want to play online to the 3DS, you have to buy a Wii U.
Yeah.
Where this is like, yeah, get either one. You know, we're going to have exclusive content. I think, you know, like, the characters are all the same, but you'll have different stages, you'll have different trophies, you'll have different stuff like that. And, of course, some of the stages from the Wii U version, some of the gimmicks probably won't carry over through the 3DS. And at the same time, the 3DS offers what looks like a very interesting multiplayer mode.
Yeah, that's the exclusive mode you were talking about, right?
Yeah. Smash Run.
I thought it sounded interesting. What is it now? You can play with up to 4 people. It's like a 5-minute timer. You basically have, like, some form of single-player stage on your own where you beat up stuff and you get items that improve stats of your character. And then after those 5 minutes, you take this kind of modified character into a multiplayer match. I think that's the breakdown, right?
Yeah. It sounds really interesting in that you kind of, it's everybody's on the same stage, but I don't believe they can interact with each other first.
That's what I meant. You are kind of alone on your own at first in these five.
Yeah. But you can kind of, you know, I guess you go after the same stuff. You just can't beat each other up during that time. And there are enemies from other Nintendo games on the stage. And it's, you know, and then it's kind of interesting. And then you kind of collect this. And then whatever you collect, you can use to augment your character. And it's like, it's a really interesting thing. It's like two different modes in one. Mm. It's like you do well in the first one, you can do really well in the second one. But, you know, like you don't have to do well to do well in the second one.
Yeah.
I'm very curious if it's online. I feel like it's one of those things, and I always thought this is the problem with like Mario Party. It's like I feel like if you spend 5 minutes and like one person doesn't do well, I can see a lot of people dropping. Like I have no chance because they got this super weapon.
I'm pretty sure that is not going to be part of your online because they basically showed the main menu of your online, and I think that was the other big news, in my opinion. Where it's like basically Nintendo saying like competitive Smash Bros is not fun because the main menu is like on the left side play for fun and on the right side I think they call it play for glory and that's just no items stock game just final destination and the other thing is play for fun.
Not only did the names, but the images, because like the image for fun is like Mario and a bunch of people smiling, and then like for glory is like Link and Samus, and they're all, like all serious and stuff like that. And here's the funny sad thing: people still got upset with that. Like people are like, "Oh, you think Final Destination is the only competitive stage we want to play?" And I'm like, "But if it's not these are the only two ways to play. These are the two ways to play at random. So if you want to play with your friends, you have complete control. You pick the stage, you pick the item.
Yeah.
You could pick, you know, all that other stuff. This is just kind of like if you want to go on and just practice your skill, you have a clear stage, and you can pick a character and go at it. And that seems fine.
For that, I actually think it's a pretty good solution because I have no interest in the competitive Smash. I think it's the most boring thing ever. But I like this idea of playing for fun. With all the items, all the craziness going on. That's what I enjoy about Smash Bros. So just going online with randoms and picking that so I can make sure that I don't, for some reason, end up in a match where I have to play on Final Destination with no items and stuff like that. I think that's great.
The other thing I thought that was a really novel idea is that they mentioned because a lot of people tend to pick these safe stages and don't explore the full game, that they are offering Final Destination versions of a lot of stages, which is just kind of the stage with stationary, no moving backdrops, no extra platforms and stuff like that. And that's another neat touch.
Yeah.
Also
with
this,
different music and stuff like that, of course, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, which is what I was going to say. Part of the appeal, at least to me, with Brawl, was like going on a stage and, you know, like a lot of stages had like five or six songs and seeing which one they kind of pick. And this kind of gives you that option of exploring that without just like, okay, this is Final Destination again.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fine solution, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I thought a lot of what they presented here was fine solutions to, especially, you know, like they, you know, like he, Sakurai, apparently is a very, you know, Smash Brothers is for fun, Smash Brothers. Then there is a huge contingent, which is like Smash Brothers is a competitive game, and he's like he's trying to appeal to both of them without really changing the DNA of the game. So.
It's probably a good way to handle it, because otherwise he would just, or Nintendo as a whole, would just offend to one of those two player bases. And I think they did a pretty good job with this solution.
And it shows
that they are keenly aware of how the Smash Bros. Player base is
kind of divided.
Divided, yeah.
Ed, I think somebody, there was a thread on Gap, and I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it was like, you know, is he the only one who listens to his criticism? And a lot of this seems, like I said, it's a lot of fair compromises. It makes sense. It doesn't change the core of the game. Like, Final Smashes is still in there. You still got a lot of weird characters, but they are kind of changing a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of characters, I was actually surprised that this was Zidane characters. We already got, really the only character we got new was Greninja.
Yeah.
From Pokemon X and Y, Charizard is a standalone character now, and I think that might have been, oh, Yoshi was announced as well.
Well, but yeah, it was Sheik as well.
Oh yeah, Sheik and oh yeah, no transforming characters. So Sheik and
Zero Suit Samus
are now standalone characters as well. Half and half on that. I like the fact that, you know, like, I know a lot of people, especially with Samus, where like her final smash would transform her, and if you didn't like paint as Zero Suit, there was no way to do it until you got back, and her final smash was just really cheap. But at the same time, it just feels kind of cheap that you're taking characters and just kind of making them their own to kind of fill out the roster.
Yeah.
It's like, these were just two characters, these were one character before, now they're two, so we have four instead of two. It's like, oh, yay.
Yeah, that's a bit disappointing. On the other hand, I think the idea was that Sakurai didn't want transformation characters this time around, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because it's probably harder to earn two characters, and
know why they don't want transformation characters. I'm pretty sure it's probably a memory limit on the 3DS.
Yeah, that,
because
right,
that means you would need to have more character models in the RAM at all times, and on the 3DS it's probably more difficult.
Yeah, and you know, that is another thing, that they are trying to make everything on parity with the 3DS, so that is probably it. I also think it also takes away special moves from certain characters because they have one less move.
Yeah. On the other hand, like having Charizard as a specific character, I think it's kind of cool. Because it's a Pokemon I like, so just having him as a character, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, personally, I would have preferred Squirtle, but they did use another water Pokemon later on, so that works.
Yeah.
Especially, kind of going back to the competitive scene, like, the problem with the Pokemon trainer is you could kind of work it. His weakness was that all of his Pokemon eventually got fatigued, so it's not even like you can continue to fight.
Yeah.
At some point, you'd have to land on the ground to transform, and that's a inherent weakness of that character, which would, you know, make it really... And then same thing with Aoyama, where he kind of switches that up. And like, a lot of the changes he mentioned were kind of competitive in nature.
Yeah.
And that Aoyama and King DDD would kind of throw out random stuff. Like, he would pick random Pikmin, and King DDD would throw out random Water Ds. But now it's like they do this one thing all the time, so you don't have to worry about it.
It actually reminded me of how Capcom... How Capcom made Phoenix Wright work in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Because he also had, like, items he could look for.
Okay.
and basically evidence he could look for, and stuff like that. Kind of remind me of that.
I guess really quick before we move on, just to mention Capcom, I love Mega Man's final smash, because it's like, oh yeah, we remember Mega Man more than Capcom does. Here's like five of them, even some super obscure ones.
It's a really cool looking final smash.
Yeah, it's like a Power Ranger finisher, but whatever.
I forgot, there was one more smash thing that I thought was funny. Oh, right, but now that we actually have all these separate Pokemon, I already saw on Twitter a lot, oftentimes, like, Super Pokemon Bros mentioned, because there's a lot of Pokemon now at this point in this game.
Well, to be fair, it could be a possibility, we haven't heard anything about Jigglypuff, but yes, Jigglypuff, right now, it's pretty even. It's been four since May. It's been four Pokemon. It's been Pikachu, Piku, Mewtwo, Jigglypuff, Game with Yakaro, Pikachu, Pokemon Trainer, and... Jigglypuff. So it's been four, and we have four right now, which are...
But what people are speculating, because now Pokemon Trainer will most likely not be in, there might be still some another Pokemon coming.
Yeah, I think, like I said, things can change, but as of right now, it's still four across the board.
Yeah.
The other thing, and I kind of agree with this, is I do think it was Pokemon heavy, and the fact that they also detailed, like, the Pokeballs, like, what new Pokemon...
Yeah, true.
So, and then the CG trailer at the end was Pokemon themed as well, because they had two new Pokemon. So it's like, yeah, I could see why it was a very heavy Pokemon on the back end, and that would make it really seem Pokemon focused.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that. But yeah, all in all, it was a decent Nintendo Direct, maybe a bit long at 40 minutes, but yeah.
But at least some interesting stuff, and the game seems to be shaping up pretty good.
Yeah. And I guess while we're on the subject of Nintendo Direct, we got one that nobody was expecting, and I'm pretty sure after watching it, nobody knew what to expect from the game.
It was probably the craziest thing that was put out ever.
Tamagotchi Life.
Yeah.
Which is, I still really don't know. It's like a life sim.
Yeah, but it's weird, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like you manage much. It looks like you can, like, so we should maybe break down what happens. You kind of bring in Miis that you have on your 3DS. It can be stuff you create yourself or maybe QR codes you scan. You bring them into this, let's call it Tomodachi Island. I don't remember if it had a different name.
You get to name it.
Okay, I actually get to name it. Tomodachi Island. And you can bring these Miis in there. And when you bring them in, you can give them a voice, which is actually synthesized and can have different dialects and on different languages. And you give them properties like, are they more happy? Are they more sad? Are they very expressive? And then based on all that, they will interact on this island with each other and get in all kinds of crazy situations, I guess. And what I've also seen, I actually watched some videos from Japanese version of the game. You apparently also can give them like food, and they develop like preferences for specific foods and stuff like that. And that can also result in some funny reactions and stuff. Yeah.
It's kind of like a Sim meets God game, because you are a character. You're not a character in the game, though you do have a, I guess, a little avatar as your Mii is kind of put into the game.
Yeah.
And you do get to, but they do recognize that you exist there, and they do communicate with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems like you can give them stuff, and you can kind of, you know, you can do stuff and interact with them in some ways, but you don't have any direct control over any character.
Yeah.
And depending on how you do and how you kind of, you know, you give somebody this, they might become friends with that person. They might fall in love, this, that, and the third. So it's like a lot of different things that work together. And then there's just some completely bizarre stuff on top of this. Like, you can go into their dreams.
Yeah.
And you'll see, like, I don't know, like your friend's giant head swimming in the pool. Or you'll be chased by, I think there's one where you're like a keychain on somebody's keys.
Mm.
And it's like a bunch of random nonsense that.
The other thing was like the musical numbers, which was also crazy. Apparently you can write the text yourself for those musical numbers. Something
yeah,
I read.
Yeah, there's a video of a Morgan Freeman singing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, it's like you'll put in anything and they'll read it, because it talks about like him being in Shang Tsung Redemption,
yeah,
and him being in Batman Begins and stuff like that, and it's like, it will read it, I guess they should sing it, and it's a different type of musical performance, because this one was kind of like a stage show,
yeah.
He came down on like a balcony and stuff like that, there's rap contests, I guess that's the other thing. It's a very cultural game, so
yeah.
I think rap contests are for us. I don't necessarily know if that's going to translate to Europe, because rap battles are a bigger thing in the North America.
I don't know. People here have seen the Eminem film, so whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, because it's like in Japan, it was karaoke contest. That was just karaoke.
I think rap battles will translate well enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, there's a mini game. There are games in here. There are gamey elements as well.
Yeah.
But like in Japan, it was a sumo wrestling thing. For us, it's a football game. And for you, it's a
soccer.
Other football game.
Soccer. You can say it. You're American.
Yeah. Okay. it's a soccer mini game. So, and you know, it's the same thing with like dialogues. Like, we have American English, you have British English,
or like German, that. Depending on the country.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Folks, I mean, part of the reason apparently that it's because it's been out in Japan for about a year or so.
Even 2 years.
It's been a while.
Yeah, the big part was the speech synthesization, because Japanese is actually quite easy to do, because they only have a couple of phonetic sounds. For example, for me as a German speaker, Japanese is very easy, because all of their phonetic sounds are in the German language, so it's pretty easy to get the phonetics down. And but languages like German or English have way more phonetic sounds, and that makes it harder to get like a speech synthesizer that sounds somewhat natural.
But I mean, it doesn't sound natural, but they do make it a certain charm about this
yeah.
game.
But it does sound better when you hear the Japanese version. It's pretty obvious still, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I guess another thing about this is it's out in 2 months.
Yeah.
It's not out of turnover.
This game, June.
And I will say I've been a fan of the Nintendo Directs. They're fun. I think they're interesting. I honestly think this was what the Nintendo Directs were created for. I don't think there was any way to express this game in like a preview.
Not really.
Write about it. And I didn't even think like a 2 or 3 minute trailer would have sold this game.
Yeah, I have to say, like what I meant when I mentioned on Twitter that I didn't much enjoy Animal Crossing is this seems also to be much more of a casual experience and stuff. But I am kind of curious to try it out because it looks so crazy.
Yeah, and I think the big difference between this and Animal Crossing is that it uses Miis, and I think the fact that you can import like your friends, your girlfriend, your family members, and kind of it's gonna be like you living out a soap opera, like posting to like, Facebook or Twitter what's happening with them,
and you don't have to deal with mundane tasks on a daily basis. That's probably also better, I guess.
And I guess the other thing, and this is something, I mean, you have Miiverse if you want, but I guess Animal Crossing, you can also directly export screenshots from the game by pressing X or Y anytime throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can post directly to Facebook and Twitter, like one of the scenes in the trailer or Nintendo Direct, if you were, is like the love triangle on the beach where everybody's like, wait, and they turn around all dramatically. So just kind of post some screenshots of that goofiness, or like when Reggie's in a Reggie bodysuit or something stupid like that. So yeah, there's a lot of randomness, and it does seem like, I mean, it makes sense. This is from the studio that bought us WarioWare and Rhythm Heaven. So
Studio? Okay, didn't know that.
So this is that batshit insane segment of Nintendo.
It actually, and from what I now know, this was also pretty big success in Japan as well, this game.
Yeah, so I think the two games combined have sold almost 6 million copies.
Yeah.
Which is pretty huge hit.
Yeah.
I think the initial sell would be difficult. I think it's going to be really strange for people. I do think that including like the social aspect of being able to share screenshots and importing your friends and family, I think that's going to be the draw. I think once people start posting like, oh, so-and-so did this today in my game, and I think that's when other people are going to start hearing about it.
Yeah, it will probably be a total word-of-mouth game and just go for this. It's probably going to be one of those games again for Nintendo that will sell like the whole lifetime of the system.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be interesting. I am really curious to see. I was debating today. I don't know if I'm going to put my actual friends in there or if I'm going to put like Twitter people in there. I'm planning
to put like only wrestlers in there.
That's another thing. That's another aspect Nintendo can focus on. They can give out like, I know that they have an open preview, which is rather different. I don't really hear like people have preview copies of this game and they can talk about it whenever. Well, review copies, actually. They have the finalized versions of it, and they can talk about it with free. So you have people posting like the Morgan Freeman video. CVG put like a day one video where it interacts with all these characters. But you also, they give you Nintendo representatives like Iwata and Miyamoto. I don't know about Europe. I know with the States, we get Christina Aguilera as one of our celebrity endorsers. So she's in the game.
Okay.
And she's Christina Aguilera, so you kind of recognize her as a celebrity, as a star, and stuff like that. And of course, you know, you can transfer Miis with their QR codes and all that other stuff. So, and anybody you've interacted with via Street Pass as well. So there's a ton of options. You can make it as insane as you want. Like there was a Morgan Freeman video, for example, had Morgan Freeman, it had The Undertaker, it had, who are the other two people? But it was like two other random famous people that make no sense genre-wise, but they're all there singing together.
It was crazy, definitely.
Yeah, then that's pretty much the entire extent of the game.
But it looks like it will probably be a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, it's like Animal Crossing, where you can probably be paid like 1 hour a day. And unlike Animal Crossing, it doesn't seem like you get penalized for missing out on these things, where you have to pick weeds or anything stupid like that.
Yeah. The game seems to basically wait for you to indulge in its craziness.
Yeah.
One more thing though that came out from Nintendo was That's something that's only of interest if you're European. They announced the fourth Inazuma 11 game, Inazuma 11 Go Light, and they bring out both versions, the Light and the Shadow version, on June 13th.
Fancy, yes, we just got the first one.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm definitely going to get it.
Okay, speaking of somewhat interesting sequels, I guess, Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
Which I
hope is not the game, the name they use.
Sure, it is. There's a peck shot of it. That's the game name.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I know it's cutesy, haha. We're not an actual sequel, we're not an actual prequel. But it's the same, I was reading, there's Integrals, which are, sequels that take place in between a movie. Now we have the pre-sequel, which is, I'm happy for more Borderlands. I think you expressed this on Twitter that you aren't so happy that it's current gen, that's gen only.
Yeah, I think at this point it's kind of weird. when you look at cross-gen games where the next-gen version is already outselling the previous-gen version and stuff like that, I think not putting that out on Xbox One and PS4 is kind of a mistake, in my opinion.
Well, I assume they probably had it in development and they probably figured they can get money out of it this fall and maybe port it over next, March or whatever.
Personally, though, I don't have much interest in it. I think I'm borderlanded out at this point.
I'm kind of half with you. I like Borderlands, but when each game is 50 hours, two of them is kind of out of time, and the idea of starting a third one, it's I'm kind of okay with just the two I have right now, and this doesn't seem to be any radical change to the format, and actually it's the opposite. It adds that weird gimmick that a lot of sequels do to kind of be different, and in this case, it's an oxygen meter.
One of the worst ideas ever, I've heard one.
I've never been keen of any type of system that you have to manage outside of your health as well.
Yeah.
Where it's you have, certain areas are zero oxygen, so you have to conserve it. But we're also going to make it a gameplay element where you can use your oxygen as a jetpack or a double jump. Yeah. And
it's usually something that's not much fun.
Yeah, and usually what's going to happen is either you're going to find an upgrade where you don't have to worry with it anymore, or it's just going to be a non-issue halfway through the game, because it's not an interesting thing. Nobody wants to do it. It's very tedious. It's I'm fighting a boss. I gotta be careful about my health. I gotta be careful about the boss. Oh, I also gotta make sure I have enough oxygen here.
Yeah.
It's as fun as it is, it's one of the reasons people don't like underwater stages in Sonic games.
Yeah. Also being basically a prequel to Borderlands 2, I think the story evolves around, what's this guy called again?
Handsome Jack.
Yeah, and his rise to power. I don't know. It's not something that sounds interesting to me. Like I said, at this point, Borderlands out. Maybe by the time a third one comes around, I'm interested again. But at this point,
Yeah, I think I'll get it in a year time when me and my friends decide to pick it up for $10, which is what we're doing with Borderlands now. And it also doesn't seem like the characters are that interesting, especially Claptrap, which I came to the realization during Borderlands 2 that I was tired of the character. Mm. It was kind of that one thing that was really funny, and then they kind of pushed it too much, and this is enough, we kind of get it now.
Yeah.
there's that. Fortnite, which was Game Informer's cover reveal for the month, and you haven't checked this out yet. I think we both had this sentiment. I was surprised that Game Informer put a free-to-play PC exclusive game as their cover feature.
Yeah, I was so sure that it was also coming to consoles, but it came out, no, it's still just the PC free-to-play thing. And that actually surprised me from Game Informer.
Yeah,
because
big time.
Basically they are, I don't know, they are owned by GameStop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. Usually you'd think they use that space to get, pre-orders for something up.
Yeah. It's a game that GameStop won't sell because it's free-to-play.
Yeah.
It looks like an interesting game. I mean, it's epic. So it's a third-person shooter.
Yep.
And it's a third-person shooter kind of meets I want to say tower defense game, but I feel like I'm going to say that and people are going to disagree. But you do, it's kind of like horror, like not like horror mode in Gears of War 3, not Gears of War 2, where you build up certain, you know, devices, you build up certain locations and areas, and like, there are waves that come through, and part of this, part, you know, you get direct control of your character, you can shoot.
But
kill
the
them.
Building is more involved, it's more Minecraft-y.
Yeah, because you have to mine resources and stuff like that as well. So, like, you mine resources during the day, and then during the night you get attacked. It looks colorful, it looks bright, it looks like it's embracing its silliness. Like, there are inherent silliness to it. I haven't read exactly too much on it. I've just seen, like, some of the trailers. So I don't know their free-to-play model. Like,
they probably haven't announced right now. I'm not sure. But usually with these kinds of games, that gets revealed last. Or maybe we will know once they're... I don't know what I actually signed up for. Is it the alpha or the beta? I'm not sure. I signed up for it.
Yeah, the alpha. I mean, it's always nice to kind of get out there and kind of know what that... But usually, a lot of those times, they don't... I could be mistaken. They don't charge you money. They kind of give you, like, a limit and, like, okay, you know, try this out and see how it works. I could be mistaken.
It depends on the game.
Yeah, I guess it would.
Like for example, the Heroes of the Storm Alpha, you can totally already buy heroes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they will just refund you the money at once they go into the beta status, because prices and balancing and stuff like that all the time changes. So for the most part, they sometimes let you spend money, but you get that money back once the game finally launches.
Yeah, I guess in the same way, that's the same way DC Infinity was working. I just didn't want to spend money on the Zero characters.
Yep.
But yeah, it's an interesting game. The part that I thought was really cool was like you can like build stuff as you're going. So like somebody's building stairs as they're running up them. Mm. So, you know, to get to a higher vantage point or whatever. It's pretty cool. I want to see more of it. I know it's not everybody's
cup
of tea. I know Daniel wasn't big on it because it's another shooter from them. But it's different than the S2 shooters.
Yeah. I'm kind of into the building stuff, so
yeah,
that kind of speaks to me. So that's why I signed up for the alpha. Maybe I get in, maybe I won't. We will see. I don't have the best machine, but if I get in, I will still give it a try.
I always feel bad because it doesn't get that intensive of a game, but who knows?
It's running on Unreal Engine 4, so.
Yeah, I was actually surprised by it. I mean, I guess they wanted to show that they could make more than brown and gray shooters. I was really surprised, though. This does not seem like this doesn't seem like an Unreal Engine showcase game. Like, this doesn't seem like the type of game that you'll get. Like, I'm sure people will use Unreal Engine, especially with the stuff that came out during GDC, but I feel like this isn't the stuff that's going to sell to your average consumer. Granted,
There are some effects and stuff that are clearly advanced if you know what's going on, but the art style itself doesn't really showcase what else this engine can do, I guess.
Yeah. We also had announcement of Citizens of Earth being picked up by Atlus. This was... we've tried to think about this. It might have been one of these first failed Kickstarter that has been picked up by a publisher.
Yeah, we couldn't come up with something else.
Yeah. Usually they pick it up after it succeeded and it shows some momentum. I mean, this is basically kind of like Earthbound RPG, where it's kind of zany and kooky. I think, the vice president of the Earth, and you're trying to defend it and stuff like that. But it was really just kind of curious, especially being that Atlus built this up, and as always, whenever some company builds up anything, everybody thinks it's everything else. I think there were people shouting, I think it was Yakuza 5.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it turned out to be this game, so, especially being that it's a digital game.
The thing is, though, I don't think that's a bad thing for publishers to pick up failed Kickstarters or Kickstarters that they think look promising, because in a way, Kickstarters are a way to get your game out there. You might get press if it's something really interesting, stuff like that, especially if you're not known for anything else. And some publishers would not even let you talk to them, because you're not someone known. And if a publisher sees something that's good, talk to them and get this done in a deal, I think that's fine. The real shitty thing would have been, let's say, if this was a Kickstarter that's still running and they still finish the Kickstarter and they have the deal in place. Then I would be very critical of what's going on. But in the way it all worked out, that's fine.
Yeah, and it still kind of keeps the original Kickstarter promise. It's coming to every platform it was announced for. I think PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, I think Vita, PC. So it's out there for a lot of devices.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so nobody gets left out. And, yeah, I'm kind of curious to see if other failed Kickstarters kind of... I mean, granted, they have to have some type of momentum. I assume there was something that they saw in this game. I don't necessarily see it right now, but maybe there was something that we haven't seen in this show yet.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those cases they were curious and they, Atlus, got to see more of it and that convinced them to actually get this done. Yeah. I would actually expect that. You don't do such a deal without getting to see
more. Seeing the game, yeah. and it's especially being that it's out, I think it's out later this year. I don't want to say September, October, but I believe it's around then. Yeah, we also had one of the best-kept secrets in gaming announced this week, where Sony announced The Last of Us Remastered.
Which we kind of already said, I think, last week, that that's totally coming.
Yeah, I think it's been on the docket for some while. I'm still waiting for GTA 5 to come out.
That's also totally coming. It's the second worst-kept secret.
Yeah, but this is The Last of Us with... the DLC Left Behind, and now it runs at 1080p and 60 frames per second.
Yep.
Again,
Full price,
$60. I'm not a graphics person, so I'm probably the worst person to speak about this. I always thought the Last of Us looked good enough. I don't know. It doesn't look radically different.
I thought it looked really good. I noticed, of course, the aliasing, but that's, of course, gone due to the higher resolution and possible anti-aliasing. What I would appreciate, of course, is a better frame rate, because there were some parts in The Last of Us that didn't run that well.
Yeah, which I get. Which, I mean, I'm not saying that this isn't an improvement. I'm just saying it's not a radical, with HD remakes.
Oh, no. It's definitely not a radical thing, of course, and I'm not like frothing all of my mouth ready to buy this. I'm like, yeah, I played this last year. I'm good.
Yeah, and again, it's okay. I was going to say it's also a tougher sell at $60.
Mm.
There are people who are ready to defend it that it's totally worth $60 because it was game of the year, and that's not a reason.
No.
I don't think anybody's going to deny it's a good game.
No.
That does not mean that you want to pay $60 for less than a year later.
I would have preferred if they put it out for, like, I don't know, 40, 49?
I still think 30 would have been nice. I mean, granted, I know most people are going to want to go for the full.
It at least includes the DLC, so I can see the more of a 30.
This is completely random and OE personal, but I find it funny. I had somebody on Twitter who's like, I haven't played the Left Behind DLC, and I was going to get it, but now I think I'm just going to wait for this version. I'm just thinking, so you'd rather not spend the $15 to play it now and invest $60 to get the DLC later on this year? Like, it doesn't have a release date, I don't think. It's summer, right?
It's June, right?
Oh, is it June?
Pretty sure it's June. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was just summer this year. So it's exactly a year after the release of the original one. Yeah.
Oh, it's summer right now. Yep.
Okay.
They haven't specified right now for months. I was just suspecting because apparently now everything is coming in June from Nintendo and some other stuff. So.
Yeah, and you don't even need the hype for it. It's already out there. It's already game of the year. People know it. I'm just really curious to see how it sells, really, because I'm curious to market. I mean, it's not like The Last of Us didn't sell well. It sold, 6 million copies? So it had a pretty good market share.
I don't know. There might be new PS4 owners that didn't have PS3. They might be, like, people who switched from a 360
Oh yeah, but how much of those people do you think that exist?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a huge amount, but they are probably there, so.
Don't get me wrong, it will sell. I'm just kind of curious if it's going to be like a million sell, or if it's going to sell 5 million again or something like that.
I don't know what the original sales number was for this game.
It's like 6.2, I think, last time they updated us.
I think it will probably do the 1 million.
Yeah, I think it, but yeah, like at that, because especially being that it came out this week, and I read, because again, I don't want to get into game development, I'm not an expert, but I also think it came out this week that part of the team that's working on this is Naughty Dog. It's not like outsourcing this to a third party. So, people are upset because it's like, they can use those resources on a new game or something like that.
Your Naughty Dog is a big studio.
Well, I think they said most of the team is working on Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
So yeah, we shall see. Like I said, it's not a. I guess my biggest thing is just that there's been a lot of upports these. I mean, granted, there's only been, I guess, three major retail ones, and I would even say two because Rayman is not a major retail title.
Yeah.
But we had Rayman, Tomb Raider, and we have now Last of Us. But we've also had Sour Throw, Dead Nation, and a bunch of games that have just kind of. I know everybody's just trying to fill their library because there aren't a lot of games in the middle of the year, and that's every year.
Yeah.
And I don't fault them for that. I guess it needed to be spread out a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're one of those people, like I said, if you haven't played it and you own a PS4 and you want something to play, The Last of Us is definitely not the worst game you can pick up.
No, not at all. Maybe not at $60, but
Well, if you haven't played it, I think it's
if
fine.
you haven't,
And
no,
you don't have a PS3, I mean.
a lot of ifs and
Yeah, of course, but those people
buts.
probably exist, like I said.
Again, I'm sure they exist, but I still find it. I mean, the PS3 sold 80 million, so I feel like there's a good portion of people who wanted to pay it who got to pay it.
And
And they're
on the other hand, you also have to see, like, Tomb Raider did pretty well on Xbox One and PS4, surprisingly. So there probably also are a bunch of people who want to play it again and better.
yeah. There are people who paid it and paid it multiple times who are buying it. I've seen that already. And whatever, it's their money. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
of course
spend
not.
your money. Speaking of Sony, I was happy to see that they announced, not only did they announce new Vita games, they announced exclusive Vita games. Not
Yeah.
PlayStation 3 ports, not PSP ports, all new, brand new PlayStation Vita titles. So we got announcements of three organizations this morning. Freedom Wars,
Yep, which
which
is
a
kind
futuristic
of,
Monster Hunter.
yeah, exactly. Futurist Monster Hunter.
It kind of looks like Monster Hunter meets The World Ends with You.
Seems to be a lot more shooting, though, than in Monster
Yeah.
Hunter.
Well, it is futuristic.
Yeah.
It's always weird when people in the future just use swords and spears and other stuff anyhow.
It's one of those games, though, that's out in Japan I haven't heard much about, so I can't tell you if it's any good.
Yeah, that was really weird. They also announced Soul Sacrifice Delta.
Yeah.
Now, is this a sequel or is this like
This
a.
is basically like when Monster Hunter comes with their G version, or their ultimate version, basically like the base game with basically what would have been an expansion in one game. So they basically sell you the full game with an expansion as one thing.
And this is actually out next month.
Yeah. Soul Sacrifice was interesting. I thought it was pretty good. It dragged a bit after a while. It could use a bit more variety, but I think that's exactly what Delta will deliver. From what I've seen, more different monsters and stuff like that.
I wonder if they're going to tone it down any in the States. I guess not, but because this is a game where you sacrifice part of your body to.
Well, the first game came out, it was totally untouched.
Oh, okay. I
Yeah.
didn't even know the first one came out.
Yeah, it did come out. That's why I played it.
Oh, okay. And the other one is
Orishika, Tainted
Orishika's
Bloodlines.
Tainted, and this is just a JRPG, right?
Looks.
Very nice looking
Yeah,
JRPG.
looks nice. I can't. None of those games that I can't tell you anything about, I have not really heard anything from people living in Japan or from the crazy importers I know. So, otherwise, I might be able to say something more about it, but at this point, not.
It's actually kind of funny. With this, I think the Vita becomes the most interesting console over the next... Actually, no, I guess the second most. I think the 3DS still has a decent lineup the next 2 months.
But the Vita doesn't look bad at this point.
No, it doesn't. Because this is out next month. I believe the Psy Collection's out next month.
Yep.
The God of War Collection's out. Borderlands 2 is out next month as well.
Mm. Although I have heard Borderlands 2 kind of crummy.
Oh my gosh, it was so awful. Like, I told you, I'm not one of those graphics people, but if I notice how bad your frame rate is, it's probably really terrible. Like, they were used to Troy, and I literally had to watch it on two different computers because I thought my computer was like...
I have not watched it, Troy. I just heard that it's really crummy.
No, I started trying to make... If this is in the Troy... where they want to show it in the... I mean, I hate to see how the game actually runs.
Yeah, I thought, like, the idea of Sony bringing stuff to Vita is great, but that is clearly not the best game to do it with, because, I mean, if they would not use Unreal Engine, what the game is based on, then they would basically have to do the whole game over again. So they had to port Unreal Engine on the Vita, and that's just... That's quite a task, let's say it that way.
Yeah, but, I mean, they have faith in it. It is a big game, and it is coming bundled. It is coming bundled first. I believe you can buy it a week early with the bundle. It's like May 6th, and then the next week you can buy the game standalone if you already have a Vita. So it looks like they are pushing the Vita pretty heavily. I wonder if it's going to be like a marketing push with it. But, yeah, it's a very, you know, it's kind of, you know, we've kind of complained about them ignoring it for the most part, but now it's kind of come out that it's like, you know, here's some games, here's some fresh, different games and stuff like that. It's not just ports. So it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm excited for it.
Okay, I'm watching the trailer now. Yeah, the frame rate is really bad.
Yeah.
Also, and again, this is... textures, what? Where?
Yeah. Like I said, when I watched it, I was like, this can't be the actual game.
It probably looks worse than the game on minimum settings on PC.
Yeah, it's really bad. At least they weren't trying to put bullshot us.
Nah, that's something, I guess.
And I guess in our final bit of news, and not really major news, is because it has a season pass, so it makes sense. They announced the first Titanfall DLC, which is 3 maps. One is in a military zone, one is in a swampland, and I forget what the other one is. The other one, every time I hear it, though, it sounds like it's supposed to be a mode and not an actual map. Let me see. I have the link here. it's what it is. It's swampland. It's... Wow, I really should learn how to read. Yeah, not important. War Games. There we go. War Games sounds like it's supposed to be an actual mode that they're adding. But yeah, it's called... I don't know my DLC's name, but whatever, it's called Expedition, and it's just these 3 maps for $10. And I feel
so
like...
So that's actually better value than the usual map packs, right? Because if you think about it, usually map packs are like 4 maps for $15. That's a bit more per map, basically, if you do the math, than this one.
Yeah, I think the value is okay. I think the problem is that a lot of people are saying it doesn't add much new content. And I think that's where a lot of people are, because you have such a finite number of weapons and titans that it's like,
That's what I said before the game came out, that it's very light on content, and just map packs are not going to fix that problem.
Yeah, and I think we've all said that. I mean, this is one of the reasons we were against it being like $60 to begin with. And I'm curious, like, I've only heard one or two people mention it, but they are kind of saying it is kind of getting old, because after a while you do realize the 2 weapons you want to use, realize the titans that you pretty much get your load out and nothing changes, there aren't like a bunch, you know, there's like what, 12 weapons, there's 4 titans, it's not a ton of variety you can mix and match with.
Yeah, you can get into the crazy customization as Call of Duty titles are at this point.
Yeah, you don't even have perks. You have, like, those burn cards. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
But I think that will do it for us this week, unless you have anything else to add.
Not really.
No, okay. Show, as always, you can find us at nerdsontherocks.com. You can find us on Twitter at dual_wielding. Hey, it's not my fault somebody had dual wielding. I much prefer not saying _part. We're on Facebook at dual wielding. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and all of that other stuff will be in the show notes, because I have no idea how to say the Stitcher URL. It's not an actual name, and I don't think you can rename it. iTunes, you can find us by searching dual wielding, or you can search Nerds on the Rocks, and I think all three of the podcasts that we put out are on there as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we have stuff up on the website. I don't think we actually have any video games reviews up this week, or last week, I should say. But we
didn't get anything, right? So there isn't much going on right now, so that's the problem.
Yeah, there isn't a ton going on right now. Like, really, the game I've been playing the most is a Game Boy Advance game from a decade ago.
That's always the issue, right? March has ended. Fiscal year's over for most companies. They got all the stuff out, and now it's kind of a slow period for a while.
Yeah. that does remind me really quickly, and it's not anything really, but they did announce a PAX South, which is going to take place in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm.
So that's going to be January of next year. So
how many PAX shows are there now?
I believe this will be the fourth.
Jesus. That's a lot.
Yeah, because there is PAX. There's PAX East, which just happened this weekend. There's PAX Prime, which is in August, September. There's PAX Asteroid, which I have no idea when that is. Mm. And now there's PAX San Antonio. And I don't think I'm being unfair, because I think it's just called PAX Australia. I don't think it's like PAX Sydney or anything like that.
I think you're right. It's PAX Australia.
So it's not. Yeah, it's not. Like, I don't know where it's just called PAX Australia. So yeah, there's that. So yeah, there's a lot of game shows. The problem is, and I've seen a lot of people mention this, is that it's good to have more shows. It gives consumers more time to get hands on with games. The problem is that people have to be there. Like, PAX Prime, what's good for indie games?
Holy crap, you forgot a news item.
What?
Sid Meier's new game.
Oh, he announced a new game.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's
2K had a new game announcement during PAX East. It was, I tweeted about it because with, people figured out earlier on what it was. It's called Civilization Beyond Earth, and it's basically a spiritual successor to Alpha Centauri. Centauri, the game Sid Meier made for EA, but of course EA owns that IP, so he can't make no new Alpha Centauri, so now it has the Civilization name attached. It's actually kind of a funny story, because he wanted the Civilization name on Alpha Centauri, but because he was at EA, he couldn't use the name because 2K had the Civilization name, and now it's the other way around. I'm pretty excited for it. I like the Civilization games, and Alpha Centauri basically was a sci-fi version of Civilization, but it had some interesting elements, like you could create your own units and basically give them different properties and how you build those units and stuff like that, and since science fiction, you can do a lot of crazy stuff with the technology you can discover. Should probably be a good game. Comes out this fall. Sid Meier rarely makes a bad game. At least that his team at 3Axis doesn't rarely make a bad game. I don't think they have yet made a bad game. So, yeah, should be exciting.
Yeah, it is the biggest. I think it was the biggest game announced at PAX.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to mention. I just remembered this because you were talking about so many game shows, which is nice. But what you notice is, previously during PAX were a lot more big announcements from bigger companies, and this year not so much. This was basically it, and otherwise it's just indie games, which, in my opinion, is bad, because getting those indie games out in front of a lot of people that can actually play those games even beforehand is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool. The problem is, like, will people stop going to these events if, like, the big companies stop showing up? Like, it's nice to kind of go there and check out, like, you know, upcoming indie games, but Sony's not there, Nintendo's not there, Microsoft's not there, EA's not there, Ubisoft's not there, and it's like,
I don't know, is that the whole point of PAX? I think PAX is a lot more than just trying out these games, right? I think it's also about board games. I mean, they have the panels and stuff like that.
I mean, it's part of the community, but there are people who want to, you know, you go there because you want to try the latest and greatest new game before they come out.
Sure.
But, we will get into that more, I guess, because we are starting our E3 preparation. We aren't. Everybody else is. We don't start ours until May. But that is coming up. But for Martin and myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 137. My name is Martin. My name is Martin. I am an actor. I make happy memories. I bring friends out of Shawshank, make Batman's gadgetry. There's nothing I can't do. It's my voice, it's a voice of a forget voice. Thank you.